How can we elect a Congress or president to massive works projects? It's not a problem that you can solve with the electoralism. As long as America is constricted by the superstructure of capital influence, no Congress and no president will ever, ever do it. Because a public works project would require a restructuring of our economy away from financialization that would be absolutely unacceptable. You could never do a great works project in America without reinvesting in local infrastructure, local production, and there's no way to do that without either massive state subsidization slash decommodification or like an overwhelming I guess rearrangement of laws pertaining to taxation and financialization. Didn't FDR do that? That was a different world. That's my whole fucking point. That's my whole point, man. Yes, FDR did it. After the worst depression the country has ever experienced, FDR did it. He got hate from Congress. He got hate from the capital class, but he did it. And back then, America was 1,000 times as industrious as it is today. Back then, we built shit. But electoralism worked previously? Yeah, that was before the entire country was owned by five people. Electoralism worked before capital controlled the country. Capital controls the country now. Did capital control the country back in 1930? Yeah, to an extent, sure. Not like they do now. Right now, our rapist pedophile president every day is lying to the media so that his friends can rug pull people over oil prices. Literally, we started a war with Iran so that the president could feed insider info to a cabal of insiders who are profiting from every Truth Social post he makes. We are so far beyond capital control. Bro has never heard of Standard Oil. Bro has heard of Standard Oil. I would argue still, the degree of capital control in Washington today is unimaginably greater than what FDR had to deal with. Hell, the MIC barely existed back then. That was mostly a post-World War II thing. So since FDR, the capital class has done everything possible to undermine the foundations that allowed policies like those to function? Yes, and now it's impossible. Nobody could do it. Mamdani couldn't do it. You could get Mamdani in the presidency and then 435 Mamdanis into Congress, and they still couldn't do it. There is a threshold has been passed where the only way to return to that America would be through revolutionary action. It's not possible to do through electoralism, which is not good. Speaking of Standard Oil, Saudi Aramco cuts oil supply to Asia for the second month in April. Vosh basically saying it's just over, lol. It's over for electoralism reaching that, bringing us to that point. Yeah, for sure. But that doesn't mean it's over like forever. Revolutionary conditions will be forced on the United States by one of a number of things anyway. The collapse of the dollar, of the global economy, the America defaulting on its debt, nuclear war, climate change. There are tons of things that can force those conditions on the world and on this country without, in a way that shakes things up. What are you doing? I'm a soak dem and anti-electoralism is cringe and LARPy, IMO. That's fine. I think what I personally think is cringe and LARPy is when people pretend to be revolutionaries. I'm not. I'm a YouTube streamer. You guys aren't. You're YouTube stream watchers. What I'm saying, in my opinion, factually, is that systems have been put in place that make it functionally impossible for any elected government to shift the economy in a given direction. Not because it's impossible, but because the incentives through law, through even just norms, right? The regulation make it impossible. A lot of people can't even conceive of the nature of the disease we've contracted. Most Americans don't even know what financialization is. If you asked most Americans to say what they thought the big problem in this country was, why economically, like why we don't have enough money, why we can't build new things, I bet you 10 out of 10 would give you the wrong answer, you know? Like if people can't even conceive of the answer, how are they going to vote in the right people? If they can't vote in the right people, how are they going to make those changes? What about the media? The media is completely aligned against this because they're owned by the capital class. So how are you going to overcome all of this? In my opinion, it can't be done. The system is too set. It's too concrete. There's no way around it. But, you know, it's bad for a reason. It's bad because it leads to bad outcomes. The bad outcomes destabilize things, and that destabilization produces revolutionary conditions. When I say revolutionary conditions, I don't mean like, you know, the Red Army storming DC or whatever the fuck. What I mean is that you are producing an environment where change comes not through procedure and policy, but rather through external force, you know, whether that be a popular movement, not necessarily a violent one, or that be, you know, like an actual Red Army type situation. It can take place in a variety of ways. But this has happened before, right? It's happened in America, right? There was no way legislatively for America to get rid of Britain, but then things got bad enough, and then there was a war, and then Britain was fought, and then now we're independent, you know? It's not, I'm not making like a prescriptive judgment, and I'm not saying that it would be good. I'm only saying like that is, I think that is a prerequisite. Do you think strong unions are still needed? Yeah, but I don't, the average union voter's a chud. We need good union education here, beyond just whether or not we have unions. It seems like your behaviors do not match up with your analysis and prediction. Shouldn't we be forming lefty militia groups? If you want to, Fed, you're not going to get, you're not getting, what are you trying to get from me? Nice fucking try. I've got the First Amendment on my side. I could make a joke right now and you couldn't get me for it, but it's not going to happen. I'm not even going to make that joke. You're asking why support people like Mamdani. The answer is because I still think good can be done electorally. All I've said is that the underlying conditions that I'm describing about over-financialization, I don't think those can be solved electorally. But Mamdani's demonstrating that there are still tons of things that you can solve with electoralism. It's not an all or nothing thing. You try to do good through electoralism, but you understand that there are limits to the, you know, to what that can achieve. You're describing an inescapable underlying rot. Not fully inescapable, you know, but it's like the example you gave about climate change. Yes, exactly. That's a perfect example. I think that we should do what we can to prevent climate change. But at this point, I think climate collapse is inevitable. I don't think that any amount of action is going to stop that. Even the best case scenario still involves reaching a temperature high point, which causes enormous disruption to our environment. It's already happening, by the way. It's already happening. We just got off of like a record-setting massive heat wave across the United States, but it's going to get much worse. And that's going to happen no matter what. So there are things you can do to slow the rate at which they get worse, but the collapse is coming no matter what, climate-wise. And it's only going to get worse in our lifetimes. We won't live to see it really be fixed or get better, though maybe our children will. That might be nice. It's nice to hope. But I'm not arguing here against the process of participating to make things less bad. It's just like, you know, no matter what you do, that's still happening. That's still happening. Yeah, there are degrees of severity. I track meteorology amateurishly. The upcoming El Nino might unironically be the hottest year on Earth by tenths of a degree Celsius. That would really suck, but you're not wrong. I saw some temperature charts on Twitter the other day. I forget their source, but it was a government... It was a government chart or like a NSCA or whatever, but it showed the temperature spike for this year so far has been, I mean, a lot of people say apocalyptic. I often say apocalyptic, but I do mean it. You know, I say it a lot and I still mean it. Just a couple. If you look up temperature on Twitter, you always find the good ones. Here's a good one. La Jolla in San Diego recorded a water temperature of 71 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday on the last day of winter. That's warmer than the average water temperature in August. What is that? Water heat maps off the coast of California. Coral reefs are dying. The oceans are boiling. At the end of winter, death of all the insects. I'm trying to find that one specific chart that I was looking at. I'm trying to find that one chart. Maybe one of you guys could pull it for me, because I don't know what search terms to look for, but it was a annual temperature map chart that showed that so far in 2026 the line is way the fuck higher than it should be, even by the standards of the increasing global temperatures. Fuck insects? That's true, but they're like important and stuff. There's a 68% chance of a super El Nino by like late July. This will be catastrophic for the Midwest grain. It would cause excessive heat and dryness when we need moisture, flooding in the southeast, floods in Australia. China, yeah. Do you mean a climate analyzer site? I forget. I'm sorry. I don't remember. I saw it like a week ago. Would you have considered the Great Depression a revolutionary moment? It would have been had FDR not saved capitalism. I think that the Great Depression would have eventually produced enough social instability that it would have led to probably an American Nazi regime or something comparable. The Great Depression did lead to the Nazi regime in Germany. In America, we wouldn't have had like the Nazis, but we would have probably had a militant, xenophobic, nationalist like uniparty that would have probably destroyed the Constitution. FDR saved the country and capitalism by steering things on course very, very quickly with Keynesian economics. But, you know, as much as he made things better in America, the underlying rot, capital, which was what caused the Great Depression, was still there. So, you know, I hope people don't blame me for being ham-fisted. I say capital class really often, but it is true. You know, It's just, it didn't used to be this straightforward. Sometimes I feel like I'm a crazy person if you don't step back and see how bad things have gotten. You know what I mean? Like, imagine being a blind guy in Poland in 1939, and every day other people are explaining the news to you. And at some point you're like, dude, it can't all be the Nazis. You people sound crazy. I didn't even hear about the Nazis my whole life until a couple of years ago. And now they're responsible for everything. Every explosion I hear nearby, every friend of mine who's dead, you're blaming them for everything. And it's like, I know, man. I know. I understand. But sometimes it's true. Don't worry, Vasha, it would take a lot of bad faith for anyone reading anything sussy into Capital Class. It's not just about reading anything sussy into it, or not reading anything sussy into it. It's that I think people often fail to understand how constructed our environment is. Like, the only reason there is a massive nationwide rally against the existence of anthropogenic climate change is because of the lobbying and deliberate lying of a few fossil fuel executives that turned into a promotional campaign that it took root in the Republican Party. That's it. It's that literally a boardroom with a few men, and now the world will burn. In the long run, it's very possible that a majority of Earth's animal and plant species and billions of humans will be dead because of decisions made in a boardroom somewhere in Exxon's, you know, corporate office in 1968. Sometimes it really is that simple. Many of our problems trace back to that. It can't be that simple. But sometimes it really is. I mean, it's not that simple in the sense that other people weren't involved, but in the fundamental sense of a small group of wealthy people conspired to lie so they could make more money, and then money continued to, you know, snowballing down a hill, and now a lot of people are dead and are gonna die. Oftentimes it's like that, you know? I guarantee you, though no record of it exists, but I guarantee you that at some point in the very early days of the Nazi Party, a decision was made to target Jews. Like, anti-Semitism was a problem in Weimar Germany, but they were bigoted against lots of people. Like, the Nazis weren't only bigoted against Jews. Anti-Semitism existed, but it wasn't the only kind of bigotry. At some point, they had to make a decision. Which minority scapegoat were they going to use as an excuse, you know? And they could have gone with a few. They could have gone with the Polish, if they wanted to. They could have gone with some groups. Others could have said it was homosexuals. They talked about queers, disabled, so on. But they focused on Jews. And that was a decision they made. And that decision probably had its roots, some level, in you know, one meeting. I'm not to say that all of anti-Semitism comes from one meeting, only that, you know, sometimes you know, these massive, massive historical shifts, you can sort of trace them to very simple, I wouldn't say innocuous, but you know, initially, like, minimal decisions. No, they were all pathologically obsessed with Jews. They didn't choose, they genuinely believed. That's not true. They were obsessed with Jews, but the decision to use them as a scapegoat was just that, a decision. There's always a decision. There's always a decision. No, the Kaiser scapegoated them before. I feel like you guys are misunderstanding the point of what I'm saying here. I think you guys are acting like I'm saying anti-Semitism was invented by the Nazis, which is not what I said. There are historical undercurrents and social forces that conspire to make some things more or less likely. But at the end of the day, oftentimes very, 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 very big, very bad decisions. Or, like, I mean, if you want a really clear example, Zionism. The decision to choose Palestine as the place to put European Jews after World War II, that actually does trace back to, like, a couple of meetings. The World Zionist Council and the decisions they made, the British Mandate of Palestine, and the arrangements made between the Zionists and the British government, this literally came down to, like, a couple of people and a couple of decisions. Balfour, yes, thank you. Like, it could have been, the world could have been a totally fucking different place, you know? Sometimes it's just that simple. And I'll tell you, man, every time it comes down to one of these people and one of these decisions, they're a member of the capital class. Overwhelmingly, it's every time, man, every fucking time. It's not regular ass poor people that are making these crazy downhill snowballing, not to say they don't have an impact, but